Today on Power Tips Unscripted, we talk to Dan Bauman, president of ChiefExperts.com, Incorporated. More remodelers are realizing the value their design services bring to their clients, and that's why it is becoming a profit center for more and more companies. Dan, a veteran chief architect, trainer, and designer, is here to clarify the many reasons you should be charging a fair price for your design services. And we'll hear all about it in just a minute.
Life moves pretty fast.
Bueller. Bueller.
Hi, I'm Victoria Downing, and welcome to Power Tips Unscripted, where we talk about tips, tactics, and techniques to help you build a strong, profitable remodeling company. And I'm here with my co-host, Mark Harari.
Well, hello there.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
It's a good day.
Good.
Somewhat.
What was that thing I saw in the movies? Don't make it a good day. Make it a great
yeah,
day.
That's Free Guy.
Yeah, Free Guy. Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, I know.
Pulling out a movie quote. I'm rubbing off on you.
Impressive, eh? Considering I didn't know half of what they were referring to in that video game-based movie, but we got through that. Anyway, today, you know, there's a lot of ways that remodelers can make money, and I think that too few of them really take advantage of the opportunity to make some money with design or to really understand how to do a design process right. So I'm pumped about having our guest on today to share some of that, those good tactics, those good tips with our listening audience.
Yes, I am too.
So, shall we dive in?
Yeah, please jump in.
All right. So today, I'm delighted to welcome Dan Bauman to our podcast. I met Dan in person, actually, a few months ago when I went up to speak for the Minnesota NARI, and we had a great conversation, and I snagged him right that minute to be on our show. So Dan teaches, he's a veteran chief architect, trainer, and designer, and he's going to talk a little bit today about how to charge a fair price for your design services. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Victoria. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this.
Well, you know, I've been hearing great things about you and your services and how well you are, you know, what a good trainer you are. So it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, Dan, how did you get involved with Chief Architect?
Back in 1993, I had been looking for CAD software because I just didn't like drawing on the board. I couldn't read my own writing, so I couldn't expect other people to read it. So I looked for CAD, and I tried all sorts of packages. One day I saw an ad for Chief Architect. I ordered it. I got the software. It came on the little diskette things that we used to have, loaded it up. And that afternoon, I put together the plans for this fairly substantial project I was working on. It was a second floor addition on a house. And I was so excited because it just worked. And that night, I took my computer. And this was back in the days when the monitors were heavy and stuff. And I took it to my client's home, and we sat there till 2 in the morning rearranging and getting their second floor all laid out perfectly. And it was about an $85,000 project at the time for me. It was a nice project. And, yeah, that was a done deal after that. And I remember shortly after that, I was sitting there, boy, this software is going to change the world because it works. And lo and behold, 30 years later now, mm-hmm. about 28 years later. Yeah, it's changing the world. So they've really, really come a long way. It's been a fun journey to watch them grow as a company.
Now, back at that time, were you treating design as a profit center in your company?
I didn't even know what a design profit center was. So,
I think that's still the case for some.
So no, I was not. Yeah, it was an interesting story about how I finally figured that out. Because it was about the time I got Chief Architect, or maybe a little bit before that. I had a client that called me, a strong referral for a really nice project. And, you know, I had been in a remodeling business now for, you know, I started in 76. So I had been in it for about 16 years. And, I went to this client's home, and I was super busy. I was just loaded up with lots of work. And the client said, I would like to do this project. And I don't know why, but out of the blue, I just said, Yeah, I'd love to take a look at your project and do some with you, but I'm super busy right now. But, you know, we could get started, and I charge a $750 design fee to, you know, measure the job and get started. Lo and behold, he went and got his checkbook and wrote me a check right there for $750. And it was like, bam, the lights went on. And it's like, so I charge, ever since then, I charge at least something for the designs that I would do on a project. It just hit me. No one ever told me I could charge for designs.
So what do you think why do you think the contractors don't charge? So I know that, like, in our world, the far majority charge for their design, but not everybody does, and not everybody charges enough. Why do you think that that's a challenge for some?
Well, you know, and again, I think there's a lot of different reasons. Some people, you know, it's mindset. It's like, they don't think they can do that. It was kind of like me. I never thought of it, first of all. And then the what you hear from people all the time is, you know, what you used to hear, not so much anymore, is that, you know, free estimates, free, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So people think, well, free estimates, you got to do a free design, you got to do all that stuff. And so that gets set in your brain. And so I think most of it's just self-imposed. And so much of that, it just... doing it. And I don't know how many contractors I've had this conversation with, just go try it. I never forget, I did this CEU class once, and I had a bunch of people in the room, and we talked about this very topic. And this one guy, he was working for a lumber company a little west of the Twin Cities here, and he said, they went back and they started charging $100 for doing plans. They charged nothing in the past, you know, and then they said, okay, well, no resistance. So they kept raising their price. They finally got to about $750 before they got any resistance. And he said, yeah, they there's so many reasons why it worked for them. It was really amazing.
Now, when you're teaching your classes now and you got a room full of contractors, what percent, in your experience, are charging for design?
If I have a room full of contractors, that's a good question. What percentage? I would say there's probably, of the remodeling contractors, depending on their age, half.
Okay.
Maybe,
wow.
Charging for their, so it's still a pretty big issue out there. You know, a lot of people don't think they have the knowledge or the expertise to be able to charge for their plans. And, so once, you know, we talk about the value that they bring to the marketplace with their knowledge that most contractors take for granted.
Right.
You know, you do this remodeling business for so long and you see all of this stuff all the time. And pretty soon it just becomes like, you know, breathing air. It's just second nature. And you forget about the value that you bring to the industry because clients don't know any of this stuff.
Right.
And it's really amazing. So, you know, back to your other question too about the reason people don't charge for plans is part of it's a lack of sales skills.
Right.
Okay. They listen to naysayers. They don't think they can do it. Self-imposed doubt. But it's really, you know, once you learn how to sell something of value, which designs are, it's a lot easier to do. So there's a definite process that you go through when you're selling a design service.
You know, I moderate a masterclass here at Remodelers Advantage where three different of our roundtable members present their design processes to the class. And they share what they charge. And I believe all three of them charge between 8 and 10% of the projected value of the project for their design. You know, these are some pretty substantial projects. That's some substantial money.
Yeah. That'd be, you know, from what I hear from a lot of contractors, that's on the high end of what people are charging. And it's like, you know, that 8 to 10%, the value that they can afford to bring to their clientele because they're getting paid for that it's just tremendous. I mean, it really makes a big difference.
Now, when you're doing your training, are you training on specifically the technical skills of Chief, or do you also teach design best practices, design guidelines, things to look for, how to design a beautiful building?
Generally, I'm teaching the technical aspect of the software, how to use the software to design buildings. Mm-hmm. So that's become something that people have to learn. There's a lot there. Mm-hmm. I do get a little bit into, you know, what makes a good design, not a ton. We do get into this topic of design, you know, charging for your design services. Mm-hmm. We get into that to a certain degree, but I haven't done any live classes about
I imagine.
Yeah, I did a number of years ago. I did do a course on, you know, selling your design services, which was a lot of fun. We had a good time with it. I need to get back to that. I'd like to do more of that.
Now, when you're teaching, and without getting, you know, I know there's a variety of different softwares out there to use, but when you have a class of students, what do you find are some of the biggest stumbling blocks or obstacles for them to get really good at designing?
Well, again, there's two parts to that. Good designing is, you know, your experience in designing versus how to use the software. Mm-hmm. When you couple those together, it's like, wow, yeah, then you can start. Then your fees go up quite a bit because you become so fast at what you do. But when it comes to using the software, some of the real, you know, you asked me this earlier, what are some of the issues that people have when they're learning Chief Architect? And I think that one of the main ones is that when you buy the software and you start using it, it's really easy to use at first. And you click some buttons and it puts a roof on and it does this. It seems like, wow, this is magical. And then you realize that, no, it's not doing quite what I wanted to do. Or how do you do that? The software now has over 1,200 icons. If that gives you an idea. Yeah, so there's a lot going on in this piece of software. Because, you know, it's a mature software now, so there's a lot there. So the automatic function in the software really fools people quite a bit. And the other thing that's really people get so frustrated, and I say, just take a breath and calm down. Remember, you're learning six programs at the same time. That's what Chief has weaved into this software, you know, from laying out floor plans to 3D modeling to now you're doing, and then 2D CAD to do structural to rendering. And then you have your layout pages, and then you get materialists and things like that. So you've got all of these components working together. And the software itself is really well programmed. It's really well put together, but it's not what I call a smart software. It doesn't figure things out for you. The designer has to figure everything out. Okay, so that's the thing that once people understand that, and then I also teach them, think of it like a CAD software. You whatever you input is what you're going to get out of it. So, yeah. Once people realize that, they go, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, it's not a magical software. And then they can move forward and in a way, you know, it works. Now, it really is a great piece of software.
So what's the major competitor, Chief?
You know, there's a lot of other CAD softwares out there. In the residential construction world, you know, I hear about SketchUp quite a bit. I hear about SoftPlan is a competitor to Chief. They always come up against them. There's some online softwares now that are kind of, they look like competitors to Chief. There's really, once you learn how to use Chief Architect, once you learn the software, I don't think there's anything that can touch it. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as for this industry, mm-hmm. you know, when you look at something like AutoCAD or Revit, you know, you can do big industrial projects in those and bridges and all sorts of crazy things. Well, Chief isn't meant to do that kind of stuff. She's meant to draw houses and light commercial. Mm-hmm. That's what it excels at that. And that's why they kept their focus on that.
Did you find that it was a challenge for you to become a software teacher?
No. I've always been a techie geek. I remember back in the 80s, I bought a little Macintosh with a 9-inch black and white screen, and I learned more of Excel and all of that stuff. And it was, you know, back when Chief came out, I bought a little Texas Instrument laptop with a little 9-inch screen on it, and I would take it out to the job and measure all my jobs on, you know, I measure, whenever I measure a building, I draw it on site. I don't hand write it and go back to my office. I just draw one item there. I might as well just draw it while I'm there. And so I've always been real techie at that. And I've had the advantage of, you know, I quit contracting in 96. And so I used Chief in my business for 3 years. And then after that, I went to doing Chief Architect full time, teaching, designing. I sold the software for 12 years before the end of their dealer program. And so I was really involved in watching the software grow and evolve and getting it in the hands of lots of people. So it was really fun. It was a fun journey.
Now, as you know, you've been in this as long as I've been in this. So what can you give me, like, one or two things that you have seen as pretty significant changes in the industry since you began?
The things that have changed in the industry, well, the technology involved in the industry is one of the things that have changed dramatically from not just Chief Architect, but all the other project management softwares out there now and everything else you could do online. It just, you know, the way you can communicate with your clients now is much easier than it ever used to be if you do that. I mean, I know a lot of contractors that don't use the technology out there to their advantage. It's like, okay.
Does that mean okay that you're making a mistake potentially? You should be using it?
Well, you know, if what they're doing works and their bottom line is coming out fine, great. You know,
yep.
It's not broken, don't fix it. But, you know, I'm seeing the younger people in the industry, they're all adopting the technology and they're using it to the full advantage. And yeah, good, you know, and it works. It really does. So when you do that. And, you know, Chief Architect is one of those things that I think has changed the industry dramatically. Just because, you know, when you can show your clients a 3D image of what their project's going to look like, you can walk through it and you make changes on the fly. Yeah, that's worth a ton.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, it just answers so many questions through the whole process.
Dan, what do you think's the, I don't know that there's necessarily a one-size-fits-all answer to this, but what do you think is a fair or expected result as far as going from design, if you're selling design to construction contracts, what should that ratio be?
Let me see if I got this question correct. Back in the day before I started charging for design services, I would close 3 out of 10 clients I would come in contact with or work on their estimates and plans. And not get paid for it. Mm-hmm. Once I started charging for design services, I still closed 3 out of 10. Hmm. However, I'm sorry. The 3 out of 10 people that would pay me for my design services, I would close 3 out of 10. Okay? Mm-hmm. So same closing ratio. However, I didn't have to screw around working on 7 projects that I wasn't going to get.
Right.
Because now those 3 that I got, I would get 85% of those.
There you go. That's okay. Ticket. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now I was spending my time with the people that valued my services and were willing to pay me for the time that I would put into creating their projects for them.
Cool. Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Cool.
So just one last question for you. Are you ready for the lightning round?
Is it that time already?
Time flies when we're having fun.
Yeah. I didn't get to go through my list of reasons why you need to charge for your plans.
Oh, well,
that's all right.
Well, let's do that.
Let's plug that in.
No,
then.
Yeah,
let's
go
do
for
it.
Let me do that real quick.
Absolutely.
Don, not even real quick. Take your time.
All right. All right. So the elements of a good plan, first of all, you know, you got as-built, conceptual, 3D modeling and renderings, and detailed working drawings. Of course, if you're offering more services, you're offering estimating, you're getting all the bids put together. So, you know, for a designer like me, I don't get into that part of it. When I'm done with the plan, I'm done with the project.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, and one of the things that, let me just run through I got 17 items here. charging for a plan is the number one path to a commitment. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just told you in the closing ratio, I used to have to do 10 estimates, 10 bids, 10 plans, 10 everything to get 3 jobs. When I started charging for plans. Now I'm doing three bids, three estimates to get,
right,
you know, 2 3/4 of those jobs. So same amount of closing ratio, but I'm now putting more effort into each project. So it's really a path. I would tell people, charge $100, charge something, right, and you'll weed out the tire kickers. Professionals get paid for their services, okay? If you go to a doctor, an attorney, or something like that, you're going to pay for their services. When someone comes to you as a professional contractor, professional designer, you deserve to get paid for your services. Professionals work on building relationships, right? So the third one is, as a professional, and I'm getting paid for a service, it's my duty to take good care of you as a professional. So I'm going to build a relationship with you. And you know, really learn what your needs are and what you want, and kind of a little bonus that goes along with that. When you're building that relationship, you might find out that it's not a good relationship in the design process. So hence, you finish the design process and say, maybe we should not work together. I've seen that happen more often than you would think. So it's a good way to find out about someone without really digging into a really deep relationship, which could end badly. As-built plans. You have to have good as-builts. I taught people how to do as-built plans for years, and it makes such a big difference in the process of a project if you have good as-builts. I mean, when I do a job, I have a 1-inch tolerance on measuring a building. And when I'm done with the as-built, I know exactly what we're working with. So no questions. Even, you know, I can eliminate 98% of the questions, even about structural stuff. Take the time needed to get the right information. So if you're getting paid, you're going to spend time with the client. You're going to find out what their needs are. You know, you're going to deserve a good as-built. You're going to, you know, find the right materials. And you'll have time to do what you need to do. Number six is you'll be able to finalize the details in advance. That's always going to save you a lot of time. So if you know all the materials going into the project ahead of time, you don't have to guess at it later in the process. You know, it's not going to slow the project down. You're going to eliminate, number seven, you're going to eliminate mysteries and surprises. So, again, you spend the time needed on a good set of plans. You know, everybody's on the same page. You've eliminated those surprises for the most part. You're always going to have some, but you'll eliminate a little big portion of them. Planning saves time and money. And this is kind of a weird one. I tell people often that, you know, you might spend 8 to 10% on the cost of a plan or the investment in a set of, all the planning services. But in the final analysis, you're probably going to get that back in the cost of the product. In the project going smoother, less delays, less, you know, just so many things that are not going to go wrong because of a good plan. An informed client is a happier client, much happier client. So you're going to eliminate a lot of those, that's not what I thought I was getting. An informed crew is a more productive crew.
For sure.
Okay. So if you have a good set of plans and you give those to the crew and they look at the 3D things and they go, oh yeah, that looks cool. They throw plans down and they go build it because they've just seen exactly what it's supposed to be done versus them having to draw it themselves and figure it out as they go. It just saves a lot of time. Fewer change orders, okay, because you work through much of the project. I mean, some contractors live on change orders. I don't like change orders. I think they really mess up the project and schedule and piss people off. And so you eliminate those or at least reduce them. You can satisfy the client's goals sometimes with new design ideas. So if you're working on a project and you got all these different options, you can show them by giving them different ideas. Number 13 is one I like is if the project come in over budget, which often happens in this day and age, because you're taking the time to do a good set of plans, now you can kick in the value engineering. All right, let's use different materials. Let's maybe downsize a little bit. Let's try this layout. Let's not remove this wall. So that value engineering, because you've got the time available to do that and you've got a good set of plans to work with and a good set of as-builts, now you can That's going to save, that's going to be really valuable. Reduce the fear and anxiety of the unknown. Okay. I think that goes with everybody, the contractor and the homeowner, because now you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I've seen, you know, here's a silly example. I had a guy in my class once that, he gave me the story. He was in a hurry and he had to go measure this bathroom. All right. So he measured it, drew it up, sold the job, sends his crew out, gets a call from his crew the day that they're tearing it out. Says, you know, this isn't going to work because your plan's off by 2 feet. Okay. On a bathroom. And it's like, okay. you know, there probably wasn't a lot of anxiety in that, but now there is.
Yeah. Right.
So they had to stop the whole project, start over. He didn't do well on that job. And then again, that's number 15. It's going to prevent those angry phone calls from your clients.
Yes.
it's going to, charging for a job is going to eliminate the competition. That's number 16. All right. A little bonus one. If a client writes you a check, you've just taken the competition off the table.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Yep. Now you can work with it. The only way you can screw this up is to do a lousy job for the client. And hopefully you won't do that. And a financial commitment changes the dynamics of a relationship. All right. When, if I'm going to go to a doctor and I'm not going to pay for it, or an attorney and I'm not going to pay anything, you know, my expectations are going to be a lot lower than if I'm paying for it. Mm-hmm. Same with a contractor. So the worst projects I ever did when I was contracting were the ones that I gave the best price on. You know, I cut things and gave it cheap because now I'm scrambling to get it done and not losing my shirt. So, you know, when you get what you pay for, let's just put it that way. So that's my best one.
A lot of reasons.
Yeah,
right?
It's good. Yeah. 17.
Yeah, well, we could go out a bunch more. There's a handout on my website at chiefexpertsacademy.com or chiefexperts.com. They both work. If you scroll down the homepage, you can get the handout that lists all this with explanations of all of this. It's a little document I put together. It's free download. People can have at it.
And that's at chiefexperts.com.
Yep, Chief, C-H-I-E-F, experts.
Okay.
Okay. Not cheap experts.
That's right. Not at all.
That's going to get you a different download.
Yeah.
All right, that was awesome. So, Dan, you ready for the lightning round now?
Am I ready? Sure.
The confidence is just oozing.
And now, here's the Remodeler's Advantage Lightning Round.
It's a trap.
All right, we're going to put 60 seconds on the clock. Here we go. What is your favorite business book and why?
It's not necessarily a business book, but it is. It's called The Last Castle by Dennis Kierman. It's a story about the Vanderbilt family and how they built the Biltmore Mansion. If you're into design and you like to see how buildings are put together, go check this. Go check the Biltmore Mansion out. It's phenomenal. And the story is really, really excellent. So I really enjoyed it.
If you weren't a chief architect, trainer, and designer, what do you think you'd be doing?
No, I came up with a couple answers for this. And I'll give you the one. I go around the country and interview successful contractors and create a business out of sharing others' success.
What are you not very good at?
I don't like doing landscaping. I like to mow grass. And
your room, your desk, or your car, which would you clean first?
Usually my desk.
Have you ever been told you look like someone famous?
Yeah, but I don't remember who they said I look like.
What do you think is the greatest invention ever?
All right, well, the greatest invention ever is chief architect.
There you go.
We saw that one come.
That was a softball.
Yeah, I was trying to think if there was anything other than that that came to mind, but no, I mean, it's really a nice invention.
Oh, that's great.
And the computers that go along with it.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for sharing your wisdom with our listening audience. But before I let you go, I want you to share your 5 words of wisdom and why they resonate with you.
All right. 5 words of wisdom, which are really 6, but we'll call them as 5. It's cut the cards. I'm sorry. Trust everyone, but cut the cards. Trust everyone, but cut the cards. I heard that a long, long, long time ago. I think from Jim Rohn. And I adopted that back in my contracting business to mean I'm going to trust all my clients, but to cut the cards, I'm just going to have them sign off on everything that I do.
Yeah, and, okay, good.
And it really, really paid off. Mm-hmm. So trust everyone, but cut the cards.
Yeah, that's cool.
Awesome.
More words will come.
Thank you. That's great. So, Dan, this has been great. We appreciate you being here, and we'll send people to your website again, chiefexperts.com. And, you know, you're sort of making me want to learn a little more about Chief. Not really,
all
but
right.
A little bit.
but
just kidding,
that,
JK. Right? Hey, thank you very much, Dan. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
You know, I think that more and more remodelers are charging for their designs, but it's hard to imagine why someone wouldn't.
Fear. It's always fear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably easier when you've got a 24-month backlog.
Yeah, I think.
But when you're scratching and you've got crews standing around and you don't have any jobs in the pipeline, I think it gets harder to do that because you start to get scared.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's like,
for
I need
sure.
that job. I don't want to scare them off.
Yeah, I think that's the same with anything, right? Lowering your margins when you're not busy. But now is the time to take that leap. If you're not charging for your design now, start. You know, there's no reason why not to right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
No one knows what goes on behind the edits.
Behind the scenes.
That's right. Well, it was great to have him on. He's been a fixture in the industry for a long time, and people have raved about his training. So I appreciate him being on.
Yep, it was good to have him. We want to thank Dan, as we always do, and we want to thank you for listening week in and week out. I am Mark Harari.
And I'm Victoria Downing. See you next time.
This has been another episode of Power Tips Unscripted, the remodeler's guide to business. Visit www.remodelersadvantage.com to learn more about Roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program. There you can also find information about our business consulting services, upcoming live events, and much more. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
It's a beautiful day.